Hi, I'm Michael Cashew.
And I'm Adi Cashew, and you're listening to the WAG podcast. This podcast is about health, wellness, and personal development.
Each episode is a short conversation between Adi and I on a single topic with actionable steps. We cover everything from food, mindset, fitness, and relationships.
We started WAG because of the way health and fitness changed our lives, so we hope to share a tool or two that helps you along your way.
And we're back.
Ooh, we're back.
All right, guys. Today, we're going to talk to you about starting tough conversations. And the way that this came about is that over the past about two years, we've done maybe five podcasts on relationships, on The Brute Show, as well as this one. And we've gotten more engagement on those shows than just about anything else we've done. So yeah. Before we start, why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think in fitness and maybe in a lot of places,
the world,
people aren't as apt to talk about the struggles that they're going on in their relationship, or it's a lot. I think there's like this taboo-ness of you want to believe your relationship is perfect and letting people in on the ways that you're struggling in your relationship and also the things that you're using to stay engaged in your relationship. It's kind of like taboo. Like people want to believe it's supposed to be easy or it should be amazing all the time. And if it's not, that looks bad upon you maybe.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Hollywood plays a big role in this. Mm-hmm. Religion plays a big role in this. So in movies, we just see fairy tales and perfect relationships a lot of the time. And religion has painted this picture that it's not okay to talk about things like sex and, you know, the woman is there to serve the man and a lot of these types of ideals. So
yeah,
that's or just like not the society that we really live in today.
Or like it's sin to have certain types of thoughts or desires or things like that. So I think us talking about our own experience resonates with people and they're happy that somebody's talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the divorce rate at present moment I think is over 50%. And I assume that way more than 50% are just in relationships that they aren't in love with, right? Mm-hmm. And being in a really fulfilling long-term relationship for most people is something that they greatly, greatly desire. And so I think we're always looking for role models and mentors to aspire to, and we crave strategies for how to have a better relationship, but I don't think that many exist. And so I think—
Well, that many that are sharing. And being
totally. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The people that are sharing because it is such a taboo subject. Mm-hmm. So I think all of those combined lead people to just really like these discussions. And we're pretty vulnerable in like the things that we've gone through and experimented with. And so I think that part is resonating with people. So we've shared a lot over the past five-ish episodes, and we've gotten dozens, if not hundreds now, of the same question coming up over and over and over.
Over.
And it's, okay, I understand that relationships take vulnerability, but how do I start these conversations?
Mm-hmm. Like, how do I initiate using these strategies with my partner? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm hearing a lot of one person's totally on board, and they're afraid to even bring it up with the other partner in fear of them getting defensive or them being upset or them thinking that it looks poorly on them, or for some reason they're afraid of the reaction of their partner and that's hindering them from even having a conversation about potentially implementing a strategy. Mm-hmm. So we want to have a conversation today about how can you initiate hard conversations or difficult conversations with your partner. And this can also honestly go with really any type of hard conversation, I think.
Totally. So we've got at least three of our own conversation starters. Mm-hmm. We also want to talk to you about how to create, not only how to take one action, but how to create a system for this just to be a part of your relationship. Mm-hmm. And then finally, We want to talk about how to protect that system and make it safe enough for your partner and for both of you to continue having these conversations long term.
Totally.
So what are some of your favorite conversation starters for vulnerable conversations?
So when Michael says conversation starter, I think you're talking about like what you say, like the first words
literally,
that come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Like what are the actual words that come out of your mouth when you want to start a hard conversation? I love this type of talk that we're having right now because I'm the kind of person that wants the tactical, like what do I say? So my favorite conversation starters are, hey, I have something really vulnerable to share with you. That just like immediately sets the tone for that person to prepare themselves for something that might be difficult to hear or to be there for that person sharing something that might be really difficult for them to share. I mean, mm-hmm. It's definitely going to be difficult to share. That's why it's a hard conversation. So saying that it's going, like prefacing it, like this is about to be vulnerable, helps that person like prepare to be a support system
for
you.
Get in the right frame of mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not like maybe like let their defenses down a little bit or like get ready to – they're not just like blindsided mm-hmm. by this. I also love, hey, I really want to have a hard conversation. Just like be straight up about it. Sometimes like trying to beat around the bush, like the other person's not getting what you're putting down. Like mm-hmm. they're not on the same page as you and they mm-hmm. – what they think your words mean is different than what you want your words to mean. So if you just say it straight up, like, I want to have a hard conversation or a conversation that's I've been thinking about a lot and it's taken me a lot of courage to have this conversation. It's really difficult for me. It like sets the tone for what is about to go down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One example I can think of is at certain times I've felt insecure in my career, like my ability to lead or speaking or things like that. And if I just come to you and say, hey, I'm feeling insecure about speaking, you might, and I just say it that flippantly, you might just say something like, oh, it's okay. You'll get over it. Like you always do, and kind of blow it off a little bit. But if I start the conversation with, hey, I have something really vulnerable I want to share with you, something that I'm feeling, it tells you that it's a serious conversation mm-hmm. and it allows you to show up for me in the way that I want you to show up for me.
Yeah. It also gives me an opportunity to get out of what I've got going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could be thinking about something that I've got going on. I could be in my own insecurities. I could be stressed or worried and you have no idea what's going on in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So just like coming out and being like, I'm feeling really insecure. I might like not have space. Like saying I have something really vulnerable I want to share with you triggers me to create space for you. The other way, it's kind of like showing up unannounced
mm-hmm.
and expecting all of my attention, mm-hmm. which is not fair.
Right. Another very similar but slightly different one is, hey, this is really hard for me to say, but – and then you go into it. I've started that one many times.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally – if it's feedback that you want to share with someone, right? Like they pissed you off or you've been holding on to some sort of resentment, it can be as simple as, hey, are you open to feedback?
Yeah. And in that one, it's kind of like a question
mm-hmm.
versus just like a conversation starter. In that one, the other person has to have permission to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I say, hey, are you open to feedback right now? And you're not, then I want to be able to make the choice to get that feedback, which is what you're asking the question for. So giving that person permission to say no and pick a time that's better for them to get that feedback, that is really important.
Mm-hmm. And one thing to really keep in mind with all of these is that it's going to feel awkward and uncomfortable, especially if you're not already in the habit of doing this. And that's okay, right? It's going to be messy. If it weren't, it wouldn't be called vulnerability in the first place,
mm-hmm.
right? It's going to be uncomfortable. And so go in expecting that and realizing that that's okay.
Totally. And I think even that you can call out in the moment, like my heart's racing right now, or I'm so nervous to have this conversation. And all human beings can relate with that feeling. And the person that you're talking to, especially if it's someone that loves you, is going to want to be like, oh, no, like, I don't want you to be nervous, and like try and make this as comfortable as possible. And just saying it like, I'm so nervous, or I feel so uncomfortable, sometimes that could like make it easier to just get through the conversation.
Right. Yeah, I really like that. When we express ourselves starting with the physical sensations in our bodies and the primary emotions, it's so much easier to connect with us versus just talking from our head about what's going on in our thoughts. Mm-hmm. When it's just so much more easy to connect. Next, how do we not only take one action, right? People listening might have like one conversation that they want to start and they might go and do that. But how do we create a system where this just becomes a part of our relationship that we can rely on and start to build trust that anytime something comes up, I trust that it's going to be resolved because we have created this system. Yeah. And in our relationship, I have so much trust that we're going to move through any issues as quickly as possible because we have all of these rituals and we have a system in place for dealing with things. Mm-hmm. So how do you suggest creating a system in a relationship to have hard conversations?
Yeah, we have a couple that like come up pretty frequently. And I think the more you have, the better. Like the more opportunity to have difficult conversations in a way that comes naturally to your communication style as a couple, the better that you can move through things. Because without having any spaces or rituals or strategies to have these conversations, you're going to hold on to it waiting for the moment. So more the merrier. We have a couple. One we have is we have a ritual of going for walks where you and I will just decide, you know, no work talk, no responsibility talk. We're just going to take a break right now. We're going to let go of everything that's going on in our lives, and we're just going to go for a walk with each other down the street. This is time to talk about anything that is about like connection and our friends and our life, and nothing's to do with like work, bills, money.
Right.
Like
we kind of have I don't know if we've spoken about it, but we have this unspoken agreement now that the default is that these walks have nothing to do with work or scheduling or bills or anything like that, unless we ask the other, hey, I want to talk about work. Are you cool with that? And a lot of times one of us will say, no, I'd rather not.
Right, exactly. So going on these walks is a perfect opportunity to, you know, we're both a little calm. We're in a space where we're doing something intentionally to connect with each other, which kind of reminds you that that person loves you. And sometimes having these hard conversations, you can get into a space like, does he even love me anymore? Like you get worried about stuff like that. So those walks really help. I mean, I ask more than you, but we both have a question that we ask. And this question is kind of like a trigger. So if either of us are in that space of like, we're connecting, we're feeling great, I often like to have these conversations when like things are going well, like we're feeling connected, we're feeling good. That's not always an option, but I will say something like, is there anything unsaid that you would like to say? And that means like sometimes it's even like the smallest, most trivial things. Like you think it's trivial, but those small things collect over time and I want to know about them.
Right.
Like if I think a recent example that you and I have is I was in the bathroom with Michael and I left the room and I left the door open. And Michael just like called me back in and he was like, or I think I said something.
I came into the bedroom later.
Yeah. And he came into the bedroom later and we had this unsaid thing. And then Michael said something like, yeah, it actually really bothers me when we're in a room together and you leave and you don't close the door behind you. So many people would probably think it's so silly, but I don't want to do that if that bothers you. And literally like the next time I did it again and I came back and I was like, oh shit, I forgot. I'm sorry. And I closed it because I want to do that. Mm-hmm. So saying, is there anything unsaid that you would like to say is like a trigger of, I think a key piece of this is all of this needs, there has to be a commitment to taking this stuff seriously.
Mm-hmm. Within reason, as long as it's something that you actually agree with and understand is meaningful to the other person.
I don't mean the request take it. I mean, of course, you should take the request seriously. You should seriously consider it. And if you're not going to change, then you should have a conversation about that.
Right.
But I mean, take the practice seriously. Like when I say, is there anything unsaid that you would like to say?
Right.
Take that question very seriously. Don't just say, oh, no, like everything's fine. That's the easy way. Take some time. Like scan your whole body. Like scan your mind. Look, think about the past week. Think about everything that happened. Was there any moments at any point that your partner annoyed you or pissed you off or frustrated you or hurt your feelings? Like take that really seriously because your partner just kind of was very courageous in, you know, asking for this feedback. They're asking for it. So I would take it really seriously and not just brush it off and not just like think this is just like a silly little exercise. Like this could really help you guys engage and connect with each other frequently.
You're usually the one to start these and you'll ask the question and then I'll spend 10 to 30 seconds in silence just really thinking about it. And because we've had this and other practices for so long, there's almost never something really, really big anymore because we're getting after these things that could become problems very early on in their development and just letting go of them. That is one of our rituals, right? The walk. But you can also do something that Brené Brown recommends is like, or does herself, the author of Daring Greatly. She has a Sunday ritual with her husband, I think at night. They just have like a 30-minute discussion or something every Sunday night specifically to talk about anything that's on their minds. And sometimes, honestly, when we talk about what's unsaid, we bring up things that we really appreciate about the other person that we haven't expressed yet. So it doesn't all have to be about, you know, quote unquote, negative things or hard things. It can also just be something that you feel like you want to say but haven't said yet. So that the Sunday night one is another one. And the bottom line is that we really value having this ritual because it keeps us accountable to continuing to move through things really quickly. Lastly, how do you protect this space? First, what do we mean by that?
Protecting this space, I think what you're getting at is making some type of agreements between each other on like what, like where does the space start? Where does the space end? And it's almost like actually creating a container for this conversation, and you two are getting inside the container, and inside that container, there are things that we've agreed to. Like, we will not get defensive, we won't get judgmental, we won't blame, criticize, or come from a place of trying to hurt the other person, which happens when you're arguing with your partner. Like, I want to hurt you sometimes. Not like, it just like happens, you know? So we've made this commitment, like in this container that we've created, we define like where that starts, where that ends. And maybe it starts with the question, is there anything unsaid that you would like to say? Or with the walk. And then it ends at the end of the walk. In that space, it is very important to protect each other's feelings because vulnerability is hard. And if you don't protect it, and you don't make commitments like not getting defensive or not blaming the other or not trying to hurt the other person and really making sure you're coming from a place of loving them and caring about them, then it's going to be really hard to maintain that type of ritual. Like it will be really hard to be vulnerable again. If I go and I'm vulnerable with somebody and they don't hold that with respect and care, then it's going to be scary to do it again.
Yeah, it's going to be even harder. Yeah, there's a major distinction between you just blurting out something that pisses you off about me, right? Maybe if we're standing in the kitchen and us being on our walk, you starting the conversation with, hey, can I share something vulnerable with you? Then I know it's coming from a place of love and I'm so much quicker to take accountability for what's going on because of the way you start that. If you just blurt it out, I'm much more apt to get defensive and it could be a much more unproductive conversation. So protecting the space means not getting defensive. For us, it's not cursing at each other. I think a lot of people allow themselves to call each other just awful names, and they justify it in that they were heated in the moment. And you know, that may work for some people, but for us, we just never want to say things that we regret.
I don't think that works for anybody. I think like cussing at each other and calling each other names doesn't work for anybody. I don't think that works. I think it's a lot like if I got bit by a dog, and maybe that dog like was like, I did something weird around the dog. Every time I go around that dog, now I'm going to be a little bit more hesitant. It's like getting bit. Mm-hmm. And I don't think cussing at each other, like saying F you or saying mean things, I think it's like getting stabbed. Like, it's just, I don't think it works for anybody personally.
Good call. Good call. Okay. So we've got three things here. First, when you want to start tough conversations, we gave you a few conversation starters. Can I give you feedback? I have something vulnerable to share with you. This is really hard for me to say, but
use any asking.
Or asking if you can start the conversation to make sure they have the space for that type of conversation right now. And then it's not enough just to take one action. We want to create a system for setting ourselves up for success. And we've done that by creating the ritual of the walk, or we'll just be sitting on the couch and
The question. You could have a Sunday night ritual. You could do it every morning over coffee. Find your own, what's your jam? Like, find your own little style.
And the best way to do it is probably to attach it to some other action or ritual that's already in place. Just like include a little piece of this. It could just, sometimes it's like a 5-minute conversation for us and then it's done.
Yeah. And sometimes there is nothing unsaid to be said. So I think that's okay too.
Right.
And take it seriously. It's important.
Take it seriously. Try your best not to get defensive or judgmental. Oh, yeah. So protect the space by not getting defensive or judgmental or raising your voice or cursing. Try to come from a place of love and assume that the other person in this container is also coming from a place of love. So if they're giving you feedback, then it's probably something you should take a look at, even though it's uncomfortable to hear.
Yeah. And I think one more thing too that I've seen really work for people in protecting the space is having the option to say pause. Mm-hmm. Like if either of you feel like this is derailing and your space is all of a sudden becoming a dangerous place to be and you could say something that you regret, you have permission to pause. Like, can we pause this conversation? I would love to like regulate myself. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important to give people that option without jumping down their throats or getting defensive.
Right. That's great advice. Awesome. See
you later. Hope this helps, guys.
Thanks for joining us. Stay in touch by signing up for our newsletter at workingagainstgravity.com or on Instagram at workingagainstgravity.
And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and refer a friend. We'll be back next week with another episode. Talk to you then.